Worshipful Brothers Tracy, distinguished guests, brethren all, thank you, Worshipful Brother Gillespie, for your kind words, and many thanks to you all for your acclamation of them. It's very difficult for me to decide what to say on an occasion like this. Perhaps it would be as well to seek inspiration from the words of the third degree, and to look into that most interesting of human studies, the knowledge of yourself. Looking back over the years, I seem to have set out to do so many things and only achieved far too few. Looking back may seem rather nostalgic, but after all, there is more behind me and only, if I'm lucky, a little time yet ahead. I owe so many thanks to people way back, so let's start at the beginning. I was born at an early age of hard working-class parents who said there was a loud noise at one end and no responsibility at the other. So what's changed? Being born into the Jewish faith, I suffered my first initiation on the seventh day of my life, circumcision, just as did another Jewish boy who became rather more famous, born some 1,920 years and one day earlier in his case in a stable in Bethlehem, in my case in the front room of the midwife's flat at the top of Cromwell Street in the parish of Elswick. So just as a Londoner born within the sound of Bow Bells calls himself a true Cockney, so do I call myself a true Geordie, born within the sound of hammers of Elswick. Born into a world trying to recover from the First World War, Ireland was in trouble trying to establish law and order, and the newspapers reported on Bloody Sunday and the fact that Sinn Féin had dragged a number of British officers from their beds so that they could kill them in another room. So what's changed? In the USA, Woodrow Wilson was awarded the Nobel Prize. Warren Harding was elected President of the USA. The Scots held a referendum and voted against prohibition, the wets having appealed to the voters on economic grounds, whilst the dries called the whiskey the curse of the Scotland and the curse that called the whiskey the well of hell. Needless to say, the wets won. History books makes no mention of my birth, but there was an earthquake in Chile, and in London, Jewish leaders launched an appeal for £25 million to buy land in Palestine. So what's changed? It was in August 1931 I was initiated into what I consider was a training ground for my subsequently Masonic career, and became a Boy Scout. After all, what are Masons but grown-up scouts? My training within the Jewish faith instilled in me the importance of serving God with love and affection and the practice of charity. In August 1940, I realised that the war would go on forever if I didn't go and put an end to it, and so emerged AC second class, and that's only because there was no third, Alf Gatoff, height 5'2", weight 7 stone 1 pound, chest 32 inches, waist 28 inches, for whom the Air Force had been waiting. When we look back at that period, we were trained some successfully to kill our fellow men and have medals pinned upon our chests, but I think of the yobs today, who come before the courts in knife-related attacks and assault. So what's changed? But the landmark you are joining me in celebrating today is the action of the 4th of May 1942, when I received a belated 21st birthday present from my late father. It was in the old Whitehead Street Temple, and I was initiated into Freemasonry and into Tyne Dock Lodge. In particular, in cash value, it was 10 guineas, plus another 2.5 annual subscription. Before I was posted abroad, Worshipful Brother Tom Maven invested me as a steward of the lodge, and for the remainder of the war period, I remained at the bottom of the steward's list. We had to carry buckets of soup up from the basement and invariably spilt it down the sides of our trousers. Hence is derived the silk stripe down the sides of dress trousers. We served 20 to a table, steak and kidney pie, of questionable origin, cooked with reluctance by Mrs. Miller, a lady who never smiled. During my service life, I visited many lodges in many towns and began to find out just how valuable my 21st present was. During these 50 years, I can remember many landmarks. One in particular was a chance meeting with Worshipful Brother Alex Mackenzie at a Scout County meeting in the Barnes School in Sunderland, where we discussed the formation of a Scout Lodge. By this time, I was junior warden of this lodge. So, on the 1st of December 1951, the Quest Lodge was consecrated with three founders from South Shields. Myself as junior warden, Brother Alan Young from the John Redhead became a steward, and Raymond Taylor from the Headworth became the first inner guard. Alex Mackenzie was the first master, and so the Shields lads considered themselves missionaries of the old, working in a land of emulation. So, what's changed? I was married in the previous August, so I had two junior wardens' chairs in two different lodges in two different towns working from two different rituals, leaving me to adopt my motto from the charge to the officers, what you find praiseworthy in others, you will carefully imitate. So, with all these Masonic duties and a brand new wife, who was keen to prove to me she was as good a cook as my mother and had a nice meal prepared for me when I returned from work, I then took me out to the lodge of the day and dined again at the festive board. Believe me, brethren, I'm twice the man I was then, and I've the bathroom scales to prove it. I was obligated by my late father as master-elect of Quest Lodge in January 1954. In the November of that year, he regrettably died, and therefore never saw me aspire to the chair of this lodge, where he said it would be a proper installation. Another landmark was in 1959, when I attended an ad hoc meeting of Masons in the council chamber of the synagogue in Sunderland, with worshipful Brother Michael Burnley, worshipful Brother Morden Cohen, and others, when we discussed the possibilities of forming a lodge that could accommodate Orthodox Jews as well as brethren of other beliefs. I was asked to try and get accommodation in the Bridge Street Temple. I was successful, and that's how I became the founding secretary. Once again, the new lodge had good support from South Shields. From St. Hilda Lodge, we had Brother Dr. H. Cohen, senior steward, and from this lodge, Jim Inch and Harry Perez, who were stewards. Also, worshipful Brother Solly Gatoff as treasurer, and myself as secretary. Thus, brethren, I sadly note that of these two lodges of my adoption, we have only two founders of Quest Lodge with us, Alex and myself, and of King David, Morden Cohen, Jim Inch and myself. Tyne Dock Lodge has always been a family lodge. Indeed, we have in the chair today the seventh son of a past master of this lodge to occupy that chair. However, he is the first to have his father as his IPM. I recall, too, the memorable day, not only for me, but for John Barnes, when our respective sons were initiated in this lodge, and I remember, too, John's father standing beside me when it was imparted the secrets of the degree. My final memory of this 50 years must be of the young man who was a guest in my home, who informed me that he had applied to join a lodge, and then asked for my only daughter's hand in marriage. And finally, the joy this year when I saw him installed as worshipful master of Lodge Maccabee, and he subsequently invested his brother-in-law as assistant secretary. Brethren, lodges go through phases. When I joined, we were in the Ramsey phase. The tiler was Charlie Ramsey, and I distinctly remember he examined the brass buttons of my RAF trousers with a magnet and said, "I think they'll be okay. They won't conduct any electricity." For the Ramseys were nearly all electricians. Then we had the Jewish era, when it was said you couldn't get in unless you'd had the op. We had no trouble in finding a quorum for evening prayers. Despite public opinion, we've had the police era. Currently we have the Port of Tyne phase. And what's wrong with that? Remember, one of our most senior brothers was actually born in Tyne Dock. And now I look forward to the Matimore phase, because this is about the passing the landmarks from generation to generation. Can I just add to this series of phases my own personal claim to fame and my claim for a place in the Guinness Book of Records? I had a father in this lodge, and I had an uncle in this lodge, and I have three cousins in this lodge, three cousins by marriage, i.e. my wife's, all of whom have been master of the lodge, Les, Louis, Sid and Charlie. Two of whom served for several years as DLC, one of whom served as the Office of Secretary, and one who took over from me some years ago as chaplain. The rising generation of Gatoffs have only to offer two male members, my own son Neville, who has pursued his researches in direction of East Lancashire, and Leslie's son, who has gone further afield to New York, and so endeth the Gatoff era. Finally, brethren, I want to say thank you to the worshipful master for placing so much of this meeting at my disposal, to the officers of the lodge who have devoted so much time attending to this evening's arrangements, to my colleagues, officers of Grand Lodge and the officers of Provincial Grand Lodge, to my brethren of Quest Lodge and of King David Lodge, to my friends and family who have made so much effort to be here from distances which have to be covered again tonight. Many thanks to you all, brethren, not only for tonight, but for your sincere friendship over the last 50 years. Brethren, I knew full well it was my job to speak tonight. I knew, too, that it was your job to listen. I'm sorry some of you finished before me.